And now your speaker, Chris Whitaker.
And certainly concerning this beautiful topic, and not beautiful from the sense that it's a pleasant topic to have to deal with, but it's a topic that is certainly needful, dealing with scriptural answers to denominational or doctrinal departures. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verses 8 that Peter speaks about Satan as a roaring lion who walketh about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. So the Apostle Peter warns us, my brothers and sisters and friends, of the great adversary, the devil, who is out to trap and to try to trick us. And the Apostle Paul even made it clear that Satan has many devices, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. We should not be ignorant of his devices, Paul said. And by those devices that he has, he deceives man into rejecting God and his way and accepting man's ways. And we need to be aware of that. So tonight, I've been assigned the topic in the form of a question. Is denominational baptism valid? Now, I could just say very quickly, no, it's not valid, but I need to give some more explanation, I feel, on this subject. Because certainly it is a subject that is very dangerous when it comes to even the Lord's church. Now, I may deal with it from a little different perspective from the denominational standpoint, but we need to understand that denominationalism is sin. And I know a lot of times we don't like to hear that. We want to feel like that everybody should be a part of our fellowship. And I don't want to preach Brother Scott's sermon tonight. But I'm here to let you know, brothers and sisters, that denominationalism is sin. And the beginning of denominations, humanly originated religious institutions, usually called churches, was one of the most deceptive things in which the devil has ever originated. Think about it. See, the atheist will openly declare that, hey, we are against God. How do you know? The psalmist said in Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, certainly the atheist will tell you that there is no God. So they openly declare themselves against God and also against Christianity. But friends, the denominationalists say that they are servants of Christ. While they argue and they urge people to reject Christ's one plan of salvation, they say that they are a part of the fellowship of God, even though they urge their people to reject Christ's one church. They claim that they are servants of Christ, but still they are urging their people to reject Christ's way of worship, according to John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. Yes, they claim, the denominationalists, that they are servants of Christ, but friends, they are urging their people to reject Christ's way of life, according to John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6. Denominational preachers, they persuade people to accept the view that they are saved before and without being members of the church for which Jesus Christ died for and paid with his own blood. But I hear Jesus even warning in Matthew chapter 7 and the verses 15 and following, beware of who? False prophets. Why beware of them? For they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said, by their fruits you shall know them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we can look around and we see many false teachers today. And we see many even in the Lord's church today. And what we have to do is go back to the Word of God, the simple plan of salvation. Look at God's Word, the Bible. Because as David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to go back to that word this evening. Oh, brothers and sisters and friends, when I look at the church of our Lord, when I look at denominationalism, I see that the denominationalist causes people to regard themselves as saved, when as a matter of fact, these folk are still lost. Over there in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, and the verses are 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but it is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who are workers of iniquity." Friend, just as Jesus was talking to those in his day, we need to be aware that there are those even in the denominational world who claim to have the right word, who claim to be teaching truth when they are teaching false doctrines. And denominationalism, with all of its conflicting doctrine, guess what it does? It causes heartaches, doesn't it? It causes sorrows. And even it causes religious hatred. Denominationalism is one of the tools of Satan that he is using day by day, Brother Hinkle, to increase hell's population. And so denominationalism within itself is sinful, because Jesus teaches us that he hates division. John chapter 17 and the verses are 20 through 21. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Friends, guess what? Our Lord is not divided. He prayed for unity. And because he's not divided, he does not want his work divided either. And to uphold denominationalism is to uphold the work of the devil. And it is for this reason that the churches of Christ must plead for a return to the Bible. And they thus said the Lord in all religious matters. We've got to do that. Oh yes, some of these guys are going too far back. There was one preacher that was preaching and he got all excited. He said, "I'm going to go back further than Abraham." And a woman in the pool, in the pew, she said, "Go on back." He said, "Well, I'm going to go back further than Isaac." "Well," she said, "go on back." He said, "Well, I'm going to go back further than Moses." She said, "Go on back." He said, "I'm going to go back further than God." She said with herself, she said, "I know you're lying, but go on back." Well, whenever men go back further than God, they've gone too far. Is that all right? And I'm here to let you know this evening, when it comes to this subject of baptism, and especially accepting denominational baptisms into our congregation, we are going a bit too far. And I want to show you by using some denominational questions, or maybe some points concerning denominationalism and how it can creep into the church, are some ways in which it is departing, and how we need to take the scriptures and bring it back. Oh yes, concerning the subject of baptism, one might be prone to suggest that denominational baptism is valid, that it's all right, and therefore we can accept it instead of the doctrine of Christ. But I'm here to let you know, my friends, the Bible is right, but somebody's wrong. Oh yes, and I want to share with you some areas in which denominational baptism is invalid. And because of that, showing you that we cannot even accept folk who come out of the denominational world into our fellowship without going through the proper steps. Well, when I look, and I especially talk to those in, there are many religions, but I know I've got family, and you probably have family that you talk to in some of these religions, and there's one that's the Baptist religion and the doctrines. They say that baptism, they are baptized, but they're already in a saved state, but they're just getting baptized just to go through the motions in a sense. But ever since Baptists came into being, they have fought the Lord's command to be baptized in order to be saved, and have confidently affirmed that one is baptized because he has already been saved. And you got some folk in the church who are following that mess even tonight, and are claiming that they're already saved and everything is all right. But friends, these two propositions are contradictory, and therefore one of them is false. And there are many interesting things to note. If one is baptized because he is already saved, and I want to show you some of them this evening. First of all, if one is saved before baptism, Brother Steve, then what salvation follows baptism? For the Lord had said himself in Mark's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, you cannot say a saved man. I've got a problem with that. How in the world can you say a saved man? If a man is already saved, how can you save him? Well, it's nonsense to say to a saved man, you shall be saved, and you saved in the same sense in both instances, isn't it? Well, to change the order of the sentence, to read, he that believeth shall be saved, and then be baptized, is to pervert the Lord's true meaning of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Oh, in other words, denominational doctrine says baptism does not help a person to be saved or to become a Christian. And this comes from a tract when you join the church printed by the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Church. It came from that tract. Denominational preachers even call gospel preachers water dogs. Y'all notice that? Why are they using those terms? Because they don't want to follow the book. Jesus said it, not Chris, but Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Why do they use such terms? Why do they use such derogatory names? Because they have no faith in biblical teaching. But I stop to tell you, friend, to the answer to this question, is denominational baptism, is it valid today? Is it acceptable? Certainly not. Why? Because it failed to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Denominational preachers, we need to understand something else. Those in the denominational bodies, not just the Baptists, but you have all the different religions that you cannot read about in the Bible who twist the scriptures, who turn them all around. But I want you to consider another simple passage. Not only did we consider Mark 16:16, but when you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, we find where Peter said on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me see something about this. When I think about that passage of Scripture, it's simple. But when I read this text, it causes one to see that repentance and baptism both come before the remission of sins and not after. And you got a lot of folks thinking that they are saved before they are have obeyed the gospel. You think that they think they're already saved before their sins have been forgiven. Well, that's not what the book says. How could remission of sins precede remission of sin? Hello, it sounds a little foolish, doesn't it? And so it is with this argument that one can have salvation before he receives the remission of sins in scriptural baptism. I don't think so. Oh, no. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and do what? Be baptized. We've got to repent of our sins. There are a lot of folks who think they can just get in the church without even repenting. They don't want to follow the plan of salvation, Brother Scott. But you've got to repent. You've got to quit doing what you used to do. You've got to turn from wrong and turn to right, as Brother Keeble used to say. Then you've got to be baptized. And when you're baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and you got to understand, the baptism is it comes from that Greek word baptizo, And it means to dip or to plunge. It means that you go down into the water. Then you come up out of the water. Rentizo is the Greek word for sprinkling, I'm told. And that's where you drop a few sprinkles of water on folk's heads. You got a lot of folk wanting to do that. Well, the Bible says be immersed. We've got to be baptized for the remission of our sins. If we want our sins forgiven, we've got to be baptized, friend. Baptism is only valid. Oh, but I'm hearing folks say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, go with me just a little bit further. Thirdly, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, I brought you script tonight. I didn't bring you no lip. You got it before you. If you didn't cut it out of your Bible, it's in there. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul said, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized, there it is again, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are what? Buried with Him in baptism. And the Bible said, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I'm saying on that point to show you, friend, that folk who are talking about they are already saved before they are baptized, friend, they got a problem. They got a problem with the Scriptures. They have a problem with what the Bible teaches concerning baptism, and therefore their baptism is invalid. Well, first of all, when I look at this passage, I see that it affirms that we are baptized into Christ. Since salvation is in Christ, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10, and that baptism is into Christ, how could we be saved before being in Christ? That's my question to denominationalists. Secondly, we are baptized into His death. Everyone is aware that in Christ's death, His blood was shed on the cruel cross. And that blood was shed for the remission of our sins. In Matthew 26, 28, we find that Christ shed His blood. And it is for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Well, thirdly, we arise after baptism to walk in newness of life. See, a new life, my friends, comes after the remission of sin. So you don't have that new life until you have already been baptized. And you come up out of that watery grave of baptism. See, the Ethiopian nobleman did not, when he went and was talking with Philip over there at Acts chapter 8, the Bible says that before he went on his way rejoicing, Brother Scott, he had to go down into the water. He was baptized and he came up out of the water. And the angel of the Lord caught away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Friends, you can't rejoice after you have been baptized. A lot of folks think they got it before they're baptized. You don't got it. You ain't had it. You ain't had it. You got to be buried in water. Amen. The Bible is right. And somebody wrong. Well, how could anyone argue that you are saved before baptism, which precedes these other two conditions? But then there's another point I want to look at, and then I'm going to look at another one here, and I'm going to be through before my time is up. But I want you to be turned to 1 Peter chapter 3 and to verses number 21. I'm going to show you how that denominational baptism is invalid, especially when it comes to that question, are we are saved before we're baptized. Well, look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Peter said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience and faith toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now when I think about this passage, I cannot help but think about Noah and how that Noah and his family, they were saved and they were in that ark. Now Noah's salvation by water, being saved from the ark, in that ark, from the destructive power of the water, becomes a figure of our salvation by baptism today. And so the comparison of the water of Noah's day and the baptism of today is unmistakable. Water was God's dividing line between the old world and the new world. Friend, baptism now saves us. Baptism clearly precedes salvation, and it does not follow it. Isn't that all right? Oh, the denominational doctrine of baptism, because you're already saved, is a perversion to the Word of God and is a very unique doctrine of the denomination. Oh, my friend. Oh, what I'm trying to get you to understand this evening is that denominational baptism is not valid. You cannot say that you're saved before you're baptized. But there's another error that I see in this, and that's something that we have to be very careful of in the church, because you got some folk in the church that teach and believe the same thing sometimes. And that is that baptism is non-essential to salvation. And folk are saying that they can be claimed to be in fellowship with any and everybody because they say baptism is not essential. Well, the Baptists, I know, they say, no, it's not essential. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. They say it's essential to get into the Baptist church. They'll tell you that. I know they will. But the Bible says, yes, baptism is essential to salvation. However, the minds of men and women have been prejudiced against this Bible truth by multitudes of preachers who teach otherwise. Preachers who have taught people to cry water salvation when this Bible doctrine is taught. But baptism is not the Savior. Did you not understand that? I'm not saying baptism is the Savior. We have one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And the Bible lets us know that every man who is saved will be saved by the grace of God. And the fact that the Lord has set down certain conditions which must be met before he will save man makes it no less a matter of grace. Baptism is simply a divine appointed condition preceding to the forgiveness of sin. That's what it is. And you got to have it. Oh, yes. Whenever I look baptized, I don't see what's in the water. But by faith, I know that there is water there. And there is the blood of Christ in there. And it will wash my sins away. And it's essential if I want to get to heaven or not. I reminded the lady one time who was out washing clothes, talking about baptism being essential to salvation. She was out washing some clothes one day, and she had a big wash tub. She was by the pond, had one of them big wash machines there that you had to do by hand. Some of y'all folks who are a little older than I am know about that. And she was out scrubbing some clothes one day, and she just happened to see a big old bullfrog come jumping out of the weeds next to that pond. And she said, my, wouldn't them frog legs taste good for supper tonight? So she said, let me get this stick. So she grabbed a stick, and she said, if I could just get over and just kill him, I could have me some frog legs. They taste good, fried. Well, she tried to hit him, and she missed him. She tried to hit him again, and she missed him. She said, if I don't hit him this time, he's going to jump in that water. She tried again, and she missed him. And that frog jumped into the water, swam to the other side. Come up, said, non-essential. She said, you're a non-essential liar. Had you not jumped in that water, I'd have cracked you over the head with this stick. Now the point is that water saved him. That's what saved him. He got in that water. And my point that I'm making is that baptism is essential to your salvation. Stay out of it if you want to. You know what I tell folks? The devil wants you anyway. He knows that you'll burn better dry anyway. Amen. He knows you'll burn better dry. He'll tell you to stay out of the water. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that baptism is essential to salvation. The essentiality of baptism can easily be seen from the fact that it stands between the sinner and the following spiritual blessing. What does it stand between, Brother Whitaker, before your time closes? Well, it stands between the sinner and his salvation. And friend, if you are not in Christ, if you have not obeyed the gospel, then you are a sinner. And baptism is standing between you and God. Mark 16 and verse 16. Yes, sectarian preachers say, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. But Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who are you going to believe? Friend, we got to believe what Jesus said. That's what's wrong with the church today. We believe what everybody else is saying instead of what God is saying. God has spoken. Oh, yes, but not only that, but baptism stands between the sinner and getting into Christ. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Baptism is important. Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias said to Saul on this occasion, and why tarriest thou? Arise and do what? Be baptized. And do what? Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Salvation or baptism stands between the sinner and getting into Christ. A lot of folk can't get into Christ tonight because they are hung up on being baptized. They think that you can be sprinkled, that you can be poured, that you can be dry clean and still get to heaven. But I got news for you. You can be saved in those ways no other than being baptized. Baptism stands between the sinner and washing away his sins, as I made mention in Acts 22 and verse number 16. The evidence presented proves that no alien sinner, no Christian, can be saved from sin without being baptized into Christ. According to Acts 2 and verse 38 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, Acts 22 and verse 16. And that includes those in denominational churches as well. Why do you say that, Brother Whitaker? Why do you have to say denomination? Because those in denominationalism, they're not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, my friend, you're lost. And in order to get saved, you have to do it God's way. And so as I bring this lesson to a close this evening, I want you to know that you cannot be a denominational Christian. There are a lot of folks who think they can be a denomination for you to live by. James 2 and verse 24. Just check it out. Check out and see if babies should be baptized according to Mark 16 and verse 16. Just check it out. My Bible tells me that one needs to understand what's being done. A baby don't know what's going on. The only thing he knows is that water's on his head and he don't like it and he's crying. He don't understand the thing. You've got to be taught. And a person that is taught wrong, he'll be baptized wrong. When a man is taught right, he can be baptized right. And he can make heaven his home. But check it out. Sprinkling. Check out sprinkling. Is it baptism? Not according to Romans 6, 3 and 4. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. 1 Peter 3, 21 and following. But check it out. You got the book. You need to stop and take a look. Check out and see if we can or cannot fall from grace. Because according to the scriptures, we can. But I know there are men who are teaching us that we can. But friends, they are in error. And the Bible is still right. Check it out. Oh yes, we have some women in here this evening. But check it out and see if women can be elders. Just see if they can scripturally be elders and scripturally pass around the Lord's Supper and wait on, amen, and sing. I know a lot of them probably have beautiful, more beautiful voices than us men, but yet and still, God did not authorize that. But you need to check it out because that's a denominational error. And many folk are getting caught up into that even today. Check it out to see if we can accept members from denominational churches into our fellowship. Just check it out. According to 1 John 1, 7 through 10 and many other passages that we're going to hear about even in this lecture, the next lecture, I guarantee you, you won't be able to find that. Or what are you saying, Brother Whitaker? I'm simply saying that you can be an undenominational Christian. You can be that. And how do you do that? You do it by hearing God's word. That's how you do that. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. You do that by believing the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 6. You do that by repenting of all your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Acts 17, 30 and 31. You do that by confessing that Christ is truly the Son of God, as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 and following. And then you remain faithful unto death. Remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. And if you are faithful unto death, friend, heaven can certainly be your home in the afterlife. After baptism, live your life. Live it in obedience to the Bible, recognizing that religious division is sinful, and that we must not, and that we cannot, accept denominationalism and be pleasing to God. May God bless us as we continue to stand firmly on His Word. And may we, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God, for Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. That's my charge this evening, brethren. We got to continue to preach the Word. Denominationalism is all about us. But Paul said, preach the Word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Paul, for the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Friends, we've got a job to do. Let us stand forth and stand firmly on God's Word, never to turn from it, so that when this life on earth is over, and we stand and we meet those that we love, and we have to part from them one day, we won't have to hear them say, you never mentioned Him to me. Because what we've done is preach nothing but God's holy Word. Preach the Word.